It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by the inimitable Gemma Kaneko.
Hello. I liked that intro a lot.
I'm glad that we're sitting at, yes. Today you can't see, you're listening. I understand that this is not television, it's radio, but we're sitting at this round table and I'm sitting right across from Gemma, so our whole feng shui is different. And yeah. I feel excited and energized, and I think that it's going to be a positive thing. We also, this is also different. We have, not from New York City, but from Austin, Texas, Chris Landers is joining us. What? You moved out to Texas?
I did move out to Texas. It is quite hot here. I'm considering moving back.
You're not allowed back. I'm sorry. You leave and you're not allowed to come back.
It's the one time only thing. They built a wall.
Yeah. Not going to touch that, but let's dive in because we have a lot of baseball to get to. We unfortunately couldn't do a podcast last week, and then obviously Memorial Day or Labor Day happened, and so it's one of the days.
Get your
one of the holidays
together.
I think I can't wear white anymore. It's that holiday.
No white bottoms.
Yes, but either way, a lot of baseball happened that we need to get to. The first thing I want to talk about is Michael Clare wrote a post that we published on our site yesterday. Today is Wednesday. Yesterday was Tuesday. So
what?
If you go on, I know. That's how the days of the week work. Thank you for tuning in to Dakota Gardner Explains the Days of the Week. But the post that was up there was from Michael Clare, and it was about 8 stretch run questions that we're hoping to see answered. I thought what could be fun to start off the show this week is to ask you, there are eight questions. At the bottom, there was a poll where Mr. Clare asked which ones our readers think would be the most likely to come true. I'm going to read you the top 4 vote-getters. You have to tell me which one our readers thought was most likely to happen.
Okay.
All right? So here are the top four vote-getters from the 8 stretch run questions that we can't wait to have answered. Again, that post, MLB.com/cut4. The first, will the Orioles steal fewer than 20 bases? Now, they are, in fact, I think they have 16 as a team right now, which is insane. The last team to steal 20 bases or fewer did it in 1972, so it's been a really long time since it's happened. They just do not run on the bases at all, so will the Orioles steal fewer than 20 bases? The second question, will Joey Votto lead the league in walks once again? He's done it every year since 2011, except for his injury-shortened 2014 campaign. Our third question, will David Ortiz finish with the greatest season ever by a retiring player? There are a lot of different metrics you can use to measure that. My personal favorite is home runs. He has hit 31 this year, and he is just a few behind Dave Kingman, who has the record of 35. And then the final question, will Brian Dozier hit 40 home runs? And now when the post went live on Tuesday, he only had 38. He now has 39. Just gonna let that fact stand as it may. So which of those 4 questions do you think our readers think is the most likely to come true? Is it that the Orioles will steal fewer than 20 bases, that Joey Votto will lead the league in walks, that David Ortiz will have the greatest season ever from a retiring player, or that Brian Dozier will hit 40 home runs? Landers, what do you think?
I'm tempted to go with David Ortiz because, as a man of the people, I think the voters will be kind to Big Poppy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Brian Dozier because he's already pretty close, and he hit another one yesterday, I think.
Yeah, he's at 39 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Brian Dozier.
All right. Dozier. Gemma, what do you think?
I think that Brian Dozier will definitely hit 40 home runs. Yeah. I think that will happen. I also think that the Orioles will probably not steal greater than 20 bases. I also think that is true and probably will happen. Whether or not I think that's what people chose, though.
Yeah, see, this is like a little match game, newlywed game.
I'm going to go with David Ortiz because I feel like our readers enjoy David Ortiz.
David Ortiz came in second in our poll.
All right.
Votto came in third. The Orioles came in fourth, and Brian Dozier hitting 40 home runs was first. I think a lot of people looked at that 38 tally and were like, well, he only has to hit two more. Yeah. Clearly, he's going to do it.
On a crazy tear. So
he's on a crazy tear. Which of these do you think is most likely to happen? Other than Dozier. Well, Grant and Dozier, but
of
these
other
ones. I feel
like we should change that number. We should just go back in the poll right now and be like 70, 45, 50, 81, whatever.
Granted, that Dozier is probably going to hit 40. Yeah. Which of these other three do you think is most likely to happen?
Votto.
Yeah. I mean, Votto leading the league in walks is one of those, death and taxes. Chris, what do you think?
Votto's a good bet, but then I look at the Orioles lineup and I don't see how they're going to steal 20 bases in a season. So I'm going to go with the Orioles. I think they can actually do it.
I think all of the above.
Yeah.
I'm going to cop out here.
No, I think you're right, though.
Yeah, it's, again, not to stump for David Ortiz, because this is the Cut Forecast, not the Dakota Gardner Wax Poetic by David Ortiz podcast.
I actually think that is the subtitle now. I think that's the legal subtitle.
He's obviously going to be the greatest retiring season of all time. And I know there are people out there who think he shouldn't retire. I waffle on this every day. But I think he should, to leave us with this memory of what he is. And, you never want to see the athlete hang on too long.
Yeah.
And, to go out on top the way he's doing is going to be really exciting.
He's going
to add to the legend of Ortiz. Let's dive into the rest of the pod. Thanks for playing that game with me, guys.
It was fun.
If you want to read all of the 8 stretch run questions that you should sort of keep an eye on as we finish the season, you can go to MLB.com/cut4. That post is right there. But let's move on. Wilmer Flores of the New York Metropolitans is obsessed with Friends. Loves the TV show Friends. I mean, I like the TV show Friends. Chris, are you a fan of the TV show Friends from the 90s/early 2000s?
I am, but it's mostly out of nostalgia at this point. I watch reruns because they're comforting and I know them all.
Yeah, exactly. But it's that thing, good background music while you're making dinner or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always on.
Yeah, well, and he likes it so much he now walks up to the theme from Friends. That's like his walk-up song now, which is exciting. My question to you guys is, let's assume, because one thing that we do here on the Cut Forecast that we like to do is reboot television shows, offer suggestions to either film production companies or our HBO television shows that should exist.
This is a very fertile ground for anyone who wants to produce a TV show about anything even tangentially related to baseball.
We come up with great ideas free of charge for you. And one of the things that I thought could be fun is to reboot Friends with some MLB players, because obviously the archetypes of these characters are something that's sort of seeped into the popular consciousness. So which baseball players do you think would make the best rebooted cast of Friends? Gemma, let's start with you.
So I didn't really watch Friends on TV.
Gemma, the door to the studio is over there. You can see yourself out.
I don't feel bad about this. I have no desire to catch up on it now. It doesn't really matter to me, but I'm glad that Wilmer has found comfort and joy in this show.
Yes.
So I really have no concept of what all of these characters are in relation to each other. I know that Monica and Chandler are married.
Good. I know that. What do you think Friends is about?
I think it's about six people who live in a spacious apartment and get into hijinks. Oh, and I know Phoebe's nutty. That's what I know.
So far, you're 2 for 2.
Yeah, I know Phoebe's nutty. I know about the song Smelly Cat.
Okay.
And I know that Ross works with dinosaurs.
Okay, do you know what Chandler does?
Good so
no,
far.
I have no idea what Chandler does.
Neither do anyone on Friends.
Great.
Yeah. He has some vague data job.
I also don't know what Monica's job is.
She's a chef. Well, I think she did other stuff, but her big thing was she was catering.
Yeah, but
this is good. We'll see how well the things I chose fit. Right. Okay, so I basically decided, instead of casting individual characters, that I had to go with teams that I could tell that these people were friends. Because,
the one thing that you know about Friends
is that they're friends.
Okay.
But I didn't think I didn't think it was some kind of Sex and the City thing where one of them's
a newspaper columnist
or whatever.
Watch this. Chris, which Friends cast member are you?
I'm probably gonna go early season Ross.
Okay. Chris, which...
I wish I was Chandler, but I'm just not that funny.
Okay, well, see, that's my question. I always fancied myself a Chandler, which I think, if you know me, is depressingly true.
That's pretty spot on.
That I think that I'm him. I'm probably not. Anyway,
I don't know these things. I just didn't really ever watch the show very much. So I was just who would I like to watch a show about them, living in an apartment in New York and like hanging out all together. The Cubs, they're fun. They also seem to be friends. Like, actually, there's a big group of them. Like, there's six of them that could all be friends and sustain their friendship together. You know, that was important to me. The Rangers also would like to see that. But then I was like, it needs to be a big group. It needs to be like six guys. Mm-hmm. And their assorted other tertiary character friend right. in their lives, right? So, and most of these teams seem to have like two guys that are really close, or maybe three, you know? But the Blue Jays seem to really like have big friend groups. Every time Marcus Stroman posts a picture of him like doing stuff, there's so many people in the picture, just like so many people. So I've decided that the Friends reboot should A, take place in Canada, B.
Oh, I like that. Yes. That's a nice twist on it. Okay.
Nice twist. Canadian Friends.
Right.
And
they're
B,
much more polite.
Yes. Star Marcus Stroman, Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson is there sometimes. There's a guy named Joey on Friends. There's Joey Bats. It seemed to work to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But just look at his Instagram or his Snapchat. He's going on vacation with like 6, 7, 8 people all the time. So I think that would work.
I will acknowledge that those people are friends. So you satisfied the baseline of the question. Chris, I'm hoping that you may have a deeper dive here as somebody who did appreciate the artistic genius of Friends.
Yes, definitely the correct phrase. I actually went with a team that Jim mentioned but then moved on. The Rangers, I think, are the ideal Friends team.
Okay.
If only because, to me, the Adrian Beltre, Elvis Andrews left side of the infield hijinks factory is like the ideal Chandler-Joey bromance.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice
and
touch.
In this metaphor, Adrian Beltre is Chandler, who's like kind of the straight man of the group, and Elvis Andrews is Joey, who keeps on bugging him and just getting him into all kinds of situations and hijinks.
I love
it. You can fill out the rest. You've got Cole Hamill strikes me as like the glamorous one. He could be Rachel.
Okay.
He's got the hair.
I think the rest
it.
Of them work.
He does. He definitely has the hair, the iconic haircut.
Yes.
Yeah. See, there you go. You can be the Rachel and then the Hamills.
Okay. I like it. That's good. That's a good suggestion. I didn't really keep mine on the same team. I first tried to do the archetype thing, and then I went from there. So I started with Chandler, and I thought, you know, Chandler's kind of a sardonic guy. You know, he's more the straight man, but, like, he has kind of an edge to him. Mm-hmm. Joey Votto, as we've learned, has kind of an edge to him. And, like, he's, you know, he takes himself a little misunderstood as well. And then I thought about Ross. What do we know about Ross? He's kind of a dork. You know,
is that his thing? He's a dork.
Well, a little
is
bit.
Because he likes science.
Yeah, he like. Yeah, he's
he
like.
He
very much.
Everybody makes fun of him for liking science.
Right. And like, he's a dad. He like very much is a dad.
Does he have
That's
a kid?
Part of his identity. Yeah. And like,
wait, like from the beginning of the show, he's
from
a dad?
Pretty early on in the show, he has a kid. Yeah.
Whoa. But, never. That's okay.
Yeah, but so like, he's just kind of like a nice guy.
We have a kid on the show. I'm sorry. I'm like,
The kid is around. Yeah, the kid is around.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Either way, he's a good father from what we see on the show.
Great.
So I thought Joe Mauer could be good as Ross. He's kind
Does
of
Ross
like.
Does Ross have twins like Joe Mauer?
No. Okay. But at least I don't think so. But he, I felt like that was a decent, like, you know, they're both affable guys. Mm-hmm. And then now I understand that this is a little confusing because Joey Votto and Joe Mauer are both named Joe, but neither of them are Joey. And in this, Joey is Sal Perez.
All right.
Because he's kind of a goofy guy, full of life, just has like a lot of fun with his teammates. It's just sort of like, and I feel like he would perform a lot of hijinks with Votto and Mauer.
Yeah.
And sort of. And I understand the Joey thing is confusing, but you know, he's the only one not named Joe, yet he is Joey. I get that. But
we trust our viewers in our hypothetical TV.
Exactly. Exactly. We trust people to buy into the premise of the suspension of disbelief on a Friends. Also, just as a throwaway, Starlin Castro would be a really great Phoebe. But let us move on to our next topic. We're sticking here in the 90s. This is insane. So obviously, Wilmer Flores falling in love with Friends. Francisco Lindor was pictured wearing a Toon Squad jersey.
That's so
from
cute.
The seminal film Space Jam. Everybody loves it. I've always wanted a Toon Squad
jersey.
You
know what confuses me about that, though?
What?
Is Lindor is quite young. Like,
yeah, he is.
I feel like he had to watch Space. Like, he had to go out of his way to watch Space Jam. It wasn't
as
just like
well
on.
He should.
On I know he should because it's the greatest film of all time. But like, he shouldn't. It wasn't on every bus trip he ever took as a child. You know, it wasn't what every teacher put on sub day.
As far as you know.
Yeah, I guess he's just so because he's younger. You know,
he is younger. It's
so
true.
I feel like seeing that movie all the time was, you know.
Yeah. Well, I like it. I want a Toon Squad jersey. Circle of Life has started to make an appearance as a walk-up song at Citi Field. And then obviously the Flores Friends thing. So the 90s have like reappeared in our lives as they've been doing slowly for the past couple of years. But my question to the two of you is if you could take a baseball thing from the 90s rather than just one of these like odd icons of pop culture, what baseball thing from the 90s would you bring back with you? Chris, we'll start with you.
I mean, if I were truly speaking from my 90s childhood, I would just say Ken Griffey Jr. and be done with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all...
I'm guessing we could actually turn back time and bring Griffey back.
I also wrote Griffey. I imagine Gemma also thought of Griffey. We're going to set him aside as, like, the given. Like, when you play, like, backyard baseball and you have one person who's always the pitcher, it's like that. Griffey is everybody's choice here. But leaving him aside, what
Griffey
else
is timeless. My actual answer is definitely Turn the Clock Forward Night, which was the greatest thing ever spawned on a baseball field. Those ridiculous jerseys. I think they were trying to imitate what the league would look like in 2027.
Yes.
And they had these fantastically garish baseball uniforms that a few teams wore in actual games. And they're the most incredible things you'll ever see.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you think we should be wearing those uniforms now, or that we should just have a new Turn Forward the Clock Night?
I think we should have a new Turn Forward the Clock Night at least once a year.
We
can mess around with it. We can go, you know, we can go wherever in the future we want. The future is ours.
I do like the idea of playing with different time spans. So, like, one year it's 5 years into the future. One year it's, like, 200 years into the future.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That could be cool.
That would be fun. I also think that they should do a throwback night that is just all those uniforms.
That would be really, really confusing. Like, it's throwback to the future.
Turn ahead, the clock night.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing, like, those sleeveless... Like, I have this picture of A-Rod as a Mariner, maybe, in one of them.
Well, they have, like, really... One of my favorite design element of these jerseys was that they had, like, the normal logo, but it was really big.
Yes, and, like,
and asymmetrical. Yeah, and it was, like, on your, like, side, like, by where your appendix is. And it was, like, there and huge.
Like, the future would actually just be all 90s advertising for, like, minor paper companies logos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was great. I've actually long wanted one of those jerseys. I think I think it's the Rockies one that was like, it was their, you know, purple shade, and it had like the weird. Yeah, I really want that. That is a really good choice.
Yeah, Chris. I do really
I like
that.
Gemma, what do you got? What would you take back from the 90s?
I definitely thought about, well, okay, because I started with Ken Griffey Jr. like we all did, but I started thinking about stuff that I was like, okay, if I can't pick Ken Griffey Jr., what comes from this that is going to help me think of something good? So I thought of his video game, you remember?
Yeah.
And then I feel like everyone had a video game for a second. Like, there were all these video games, like personal franchise video games.
Mm-hmm.
More of those. Maybe bring those back. But then I thought, that's not really big enough. That's not baseball wide enough. That's just me playing on an old console in my apartment, which is lame. 90s hair was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Teal. That was really popular.
Yeah.
Just bold choices and uniform colors all around. I miss that.
It's true, yeah.
But the Diamondbacks are trying to bring that back for you.
Yes, I appreciate everyone who goes out of their way to go for a unique color scheme. But I ultimately decided that what I really want is just better nicknames. I feel like 90s baseball players had really good nicknames. And I think that today our nicknames tend to just be cut off the last couple syllables and add a Y.
Yeah.
And that is boring.
Yeah.
And I need nicknames.
Well,
I need nicknames like the Big Unit.
Okay.
I need nicknames like Crime Dog. I need nicknames like Big Cat. I like that. I need nicknames like apparently Jeff Bagwell Bagpipes. I enjoy that. It's clever. It's got some last name. Obviously, the last one I wrote down was Larry Walker's nickname, Booger.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just need
Big
more
Hurt
creative.
A lot of bigs going around.
Yeah, evocative nicknames. Like, the Big Hurt, what a great nickname.
That is a great nickname.
Yes.
The Big Hurt is an all-time.
Yes. Need more creative nicknames.
That's true. I feel like, yeah, that's true. I'm down with that. I agree. We're very pro nickname.
Yeah. It could be 90s nicknames based. Wilmer Flores' new nickname could be some Friends-related joke.
That's a good one. Nils Chandler Bong. So, yeah. That'd be a good one.
There you go. Presumably that's a joke from Friends.
You are the worst. Just so everybody knows, Gemma is going to the library after the Cupboard Cast is finished.
I am.
So just want everyone to know
I have to return my book about soccer.
Nerd. You're a nerd. So I obviously wrote Ken Griffey Jr. But in addition to Ken Griffey Jr., for talking players from the 90s, I really need to stump for Chipper Jones, especially 90s era Chipper Jones. Just in general, is a crazy person, and I love him. And is as a child of the South, is somebody who is just a part of my being. And so I would like to have him back in baseball. Randy Johnson, obviously, as well. And just generally, the Expos.
I also, that was on my list.
I know, baseball in Montreal is great. But more than that, I tried to take the broader view. You know what happened all the time in the 90s that doesn't happen anymore? 90s child wish fulfillment baseball movies, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you had Rookie of the Year, where somebody injures his arm and then magically is an incredible pitcher. Or Little Big League, where a child becomes the owner of a team. Like, these are the things that we need to bring back into the movie landscape that just disappeared after the 90s. And, like, Angels in the Outfield, another 90s child wish fulfillment film. And, like, I also, just more baseball movies in general, I would be pleased with, because when you think of a lot of the classic baseball movies, they either came out in the 90s or very close to the period around the 90s. Mm-hmm. And so more baseball movies in general, but specifically also ones targeted to children where they just like hit 90 home runs. Yeah.
I think all of these movies should just be rebooted with adorable young children from today.
See, now this is a good idea. What does Hollywood love?
How old is Kavenchene Wallace right now? She's probably like 14, right?
Perfect. She could be
Rookie of the Year. Yeah. Yeah. I'll watch that in a second.
That would be awesome. Yeah. So again, really what the Cut Forecast exists to do is free of charge give the Hollywood movie and television industry ideas.
Yes. All of these things should happen. And remember, I feel like there just used to be a baseball scene in every movie from the 90s.
Course.
Like, it didn't even matter if it wasn't about that at all. Like, the opening was always like, young kid plays baseball.
Yeah.
Like, dad doesn't show up to game. Mom doesn't show up to game. Like, wizard casts spell on game. Whatever.
It's true. A Few Good Men opens with a baseball scene. Every movie has a baseball scene. You're right about that.
We
every
should bring
movie
that
in the
back.
90s.
Every movie needs to have a baseball scene.
That's good. That's a good rule. Yeah. That's a really good rule. When I'm the king, that's the rule that I will institute. All right, let's. I shouldn't have let that plan slip out. That was supposed to be a secret that I'm gonna be the king. Let's move on to this last topic. Noah Syndergaard has been waging a Norse god war against the wave. He really doesn't like it when it happens at Citi Field. It's not like rage. He's tweeted a couple times that he doesn't like the wave.
There are hashtags involved.
Yeah, there are hashtags involved.
Hashtag ban the wave.
We debated this yesterday on our site, mlb.com/cut4. You can go there and look at it, but it's a debate that I feel like we need to discuss more of and we need to have here on the Cut 4 cast, which is whether or not the wave is an appropriate baseball thing. celebration, chant, cheer, however you want to describe it. I would describe it as an anti-wave person as a significant imposition on my attempt to enjoy the game. But I know that Gemma, you, and Chris are both a little bit more agnostic about it.
That's a good word to use.
Yeah, agnostic is the word, I think.
So Gemma, what is your opinion on the wave?
I am so live and let die about the wave.
Wow. Know? Okay. Yeah. Not live and let live. You're
right.
Live and let die.
Well,
you're the McCartney version.
If you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it. If you're not, you're not. I don't care one way or the other. You know, that's really how I feel about it. If you decide that you want to stand up and do the whole woo thing, fine. But if you're sitting next to me and I do it and you don't, I'm not gonna be like, you're ruining my game. And
but
fine.
See, here's the thing. There's an implicit challenge. When the wave is happening, that everyone has to participate. And that is what I don't like about it.
Well, that's why I put and die in my phrase. Because if you don't want to do it, then you can just sit there and
not
live, and the rest of us will live.
Chris, what are you your thought? You clearly have a strong opinion here.
I'm mostly with Jenna. It might not be my ideal baseball chant. I might not stand up when it comes around because I'm curmudgeonly like that. But if people want to do the wave, then let them do the wave. I don't really understand how there became such vitriol thrown towards a bunch of people standing up and going around in the circle.
It's related,
as long as you're doing it in like the right time of the game, you know, if it's not a close game, if it's not like a really, you know, tense moment, then sure, go nuts.
See, here's my thing. It's related to the glove thing, where, like, if I'm bringing the glove to the game, now I have to carry the glove with me, and I'm trying to get a hot dog, I'm trying to get a fuku sandwich, I'm trying to get all kinds of stuff.
Put it in the glove. I don't know what you're doing.
But, like, that's more difficult. I could drop it that way, and that's precious cargo.
Well,
but
the, not very good at using a baseball glove, are you, if you're going to drop
it's
it?
It's designed for baseballs, not delicious chicken sandwiches, Gemma. But, like, it's like a schlep, but I have to carry all this stuff, and it's an imposition. And the way is similar, where I'm just sitting there trying to watch the game, and now there's somebody in front of me standing going, woo! And it's like, and they shoot you a dirty look if you're not participating. It's like, it's for the children. And I'm like, well, okay.
Has anyone ever said that to you in a ballpark? Has anyone ever looked at you and
said
it's for the children?
With their eyes.
I just want you guys to know.
We're just projecting anxieties on the baseball.
We're sitting across from each other at this table, and it's making this debate a lot more fun.
We have embraced debate here on the Cut 4 Cast.
So maybe someone stands up in front of you for, like, 2 seconds, but as long as they're not doing it at a crucial moment in a postseason game, like, who cares?
Okay, but who sets that rule, right? Like, oh, does everybody in the stadium know, oh, well, this is the postseason, so now we can't do the wave.
Well, also, there are people, right, if enough people decide not to do the wave, then it will not happen, you know?
That's true. That is true. What was that, Chris?
I think the anti-wave stance is the anti-democracy stance.
Oh, no.
Well,
however,
you did say earlier that you were going to be the king, so clearly you were not in favor of democratic rule.
Well, I'm not a fan of...
it doesn't matter if I'm the king or not, because the Norse god himself has spoken and said, no, there should be no wave, and God is above king in all of this. So if Noah Syndergaard says no, we should listen to Noah Syndergaard. Who are we, as mere fans of the game, to question the knowledge... and the wisdom of Noah Syndergaard, ace for the New York Metropolitans.
Well,
I will make an exception that if your best player or one of your stars has a problem with it and he's starting, maybe just don't do it for that game.
Yeah, there you go.
I just only have to go to games with Noah Syndergaard's pitching. That's the way.
Well, I was actually at the Mets game that he first tweeted about that last week. That was like, great win tonight. Everything was wonderful except for don't do the wave. Like, okay. I was at that game where the wave happened, and I was sitting in a section where the wave came to us, and I was with my family and I was with my dad, and my dad like doesn't care about the wave at all. So his response was to just like keep eating peanuts and put one arm up in the air, you know?
See, but you gotta do all or nothing.
I don't think
I'm
you do.
All or nothing person.
He did that, and it was like fine, you know? And they tried to get the wave started like 4 times before it actually got enough energy to like half-heartedly go around the stadium.
See, again, if you're trying that hard, don't make it happen. People clearly don't want to do it. I think I have a solution. I think I've found common ground here.
The code of the problem's over.
So we, in baseball, there was some debate over the designated hitter. And what have we landed upon? The AL has the designated hitter, the NL does not. The home park determines whether there is the designated hitter or not. What if the starting pitcher for the home team determines whether the wave will be allowed or not before the game? How does that sound?
I accept this.
And if it's allowed, I happily will cede the ground to the pitcher making that decision. And if it's not, then I think we should all abide by the pitcher's decision as well.
I like that. I accept this.
All right, I'll co-sign that, yes.
All right, good. Glad that we're solving problems here on the Cut 4 Cast. Noah, you're welcome.
King Dakota Garner decrees.
All right, let's wrap this up. So we need to do our traditional Cut 4 Cast game of summing up the podcast into 140 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses this whole discussion down into one bite-sized chunk. Christopher, since you're in Austin, Texas, which is very cool, although it's very warm at the moment.
Yeah, cool in spirit.
Hit us with your tweet.
Let's see. I'll go with my favorite episode of Friends is the one with all the Rangers. Hashtag... wave if you want to. Hashtag ban the king.
Hashtag ban the king.
All right. Fine.
Leave the wave, ban the king.
Okay, great. Fair enough.
Great subtweet of Dakota.
Gemma. I would never actually ask the king. It was would just have to be them.
Ban the king. Okay, Gemma, what do you got? What's your tweet?
Okay. Music emoji. At ML... Well, I did the emoji, so I don't need to do a dot. Music emoji. MLB will be there for you when the 90s nostalgia starts to fall. Close music emoji. Hashtag ban the wave or don't. Whatever. Who cares?
That's terrible.
All right. So, I appreciate the music.
Okay, here's mine. I'm starting with an at. I'm tweeting this at Noah Syndergaard.
Okay.
Hey, Noah. Want to go watch the reboot of Friends with me? Question mark. Parentheses. I promise the wave will not happen.
Close parentheses. This is sad. This is a sad tweet.
Yeah. Well,
you're sad. You're a sad tweet. If you have a tweet that is less sad than my sad tweet, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the best ones. You can also tweet any angry tweets that you have about Friends and or the wave at me. I'm at Dakota Gardner, or Gemma, who is at Gemma Kaneko. Chris, you're not on Twitter?
I abide by the never tweet rule.
Okay, well, Chris is the worst. So you can tweet stuff at us, and I will angrily yell it at him on the phone. We'll do that.
You will forward any hate tweets.
Yeah, no, I'll read them aloud to him on the phone angrily. you can also go to mlb.com/cut4. You can read all of our content there. You can follow us on Twitter at cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. This podcast is available pretty much anywhere that you can get podcasts, but my preferred podcast source is iTunes. Stop it. They don't pay me to say that or anything. That's just what I use.
They're like naturally sourced.
Maybe
there.
They should.
They're
free range podcasts on iTunes. But while you're there, you can write a review and leave us a rating 1 to 5 stars. And if you actually take the time to write the review, we will read it here on the Cut4Cast. And do make sure to subscribe. Tell all your friends to subscribe. And Gemma, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Chris, thanks for calling in all the way from beautiful Austin, Texas.
Thank you for having me all the way from beautiful Austin, Texas.
But mostly thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.